Can you tell me what Matthew chapters 5 through 7 are called? What is this? The Sermon on the Mount. Who's preaching the sermon? Jesus. All right? What I love about Jesus, he was the master teacher, the master preacher. He could take things in ordinary life, like referring to the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, and you'll see today that he uses some more imagery and illustration to really make his points come alive. And so hopefully today, as we look at the PowerPoint, I'm a little disappointed with the color and stuff like that, but please don't analyze what I've done too much, all right? It's the content that really is important. But I trust that throughout some of the illustrations that I use on the screen, that it will help some of those illustrations come alive as well. Now, you have to understand that the gates and doors and roads of that day were very different. So I have modernized the gates and modernized the roads for our purposes and understanding today. So some of these I realized that they were not just like what they were back then in those days. But today my message is entitled, Which Path Will You Choose? And we're going to, you know, build on that. But follow along as I read Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 23. In the Blue Bible, it's page 685 if you're still looking. Matthew 7, beginning with verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, Jesus says, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did not we prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Let's pray. Father, please help us as we study your word, that we might not only just know the facts, but that we might apply those truths that relate to us. May your Holy Spirit be instructing, and may it reach with fertile soil in our hearts. Father, we want to be more faithful to you. Stir our hearts. Point out the sin where it needs to be corrected. And Father, we come to you and ask you humbly to do a great work in our midst today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to first start off by just outlining this is really the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, verses 13 through 29. We're going to be looking at only 13 through 23 today, but it's kind of an interesting pattern that we see before us in the conclusion of his message. We see kind of a number of pairs of twos, all right? We see, first of all, in verses 13 and 14, two gates, two roads, and two destinations. We see the second section there is, we see two trees and two fruits. I don't know if that's the right way of saying it, but I had to squeeze it in there. So it's two kinds of fruit, okay? Then we see the third section, verses 21 through 23, two disciples, two professions. And then next week we'll be looking at two builders and two foundations. So the Lord was, again, the master teacher, and he uses some great illustrations as we think about our sermon today. Today I'd like to talk, first of all, about two gates, two roads, and two destinations, verses 13 and 14. They represent the way of the believer and the non-believer. The Christian life versus the life that just anyone lives that does not believe in God and those that could care less about God. There is only two ways. It's not one way for those who are really followers of Christ, and one way for those who are occasional followers of Christ, and another for those who are holiday followers of Christ, and then those who don't follow Christ. It's one of two ways. You either follow Christ or you don't. And we find this in the illustrations before us. And the command, as we start off in this section, is enter through the narrow gate. Enter. There's a sense of urgency. Don't put it off. Don't delay. Enter today, while there is time. In fact, the Word of God says, today is the day of salvation. So there's a sense of urgency right off as he starts the concluding portion of the Sermon on the Mount. The narrow gate. Many of us sort of would have a different picture in our mind. A narrow gate. A narrow entrance. I think of a turnstile sometimes to a stadium. You know, everybody's kind of narrowed down there and you go through one at a time. A narrow gate. A narrow entrance kind of implies from this text as well as other portions of scriptures together, it implies actually in the word itself, a squeezing, crushing, a pressing hard, a narrowing of the individuals to come as they, if they come in a group. It is confining. When we talk about the narrow gate in Scripture, we talk about one must enter that gate, but in order to enter that gate, they must give up their pride and their self-sufficiency. In fact, early on, as we looked, and we're going to look at that in just a moment, it says in the Beatitudes, in the start of the sermon, it says, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, those who have a poverty in spirit. Not those who are poor economically, but it's the idea that we recognize our need for God. That's the ones that can make it through this gate, that they come in humility, and they can only pass through this gate. Many individuals will pass by the narrow gate that is referred to in our text before us. But it's open. It's an open gate. It's always open. But we don't know how long that gate will still be open. It is an exclusive gate. Only through one person, Jesus Christ. The narrow gate. Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, as we referred to just a moment ago. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed has the idea of approval. Those who are blessed are those who are approved by God. Whose approval do you seek this morning? God's or man's? Poor in spirit, those who recognize their need for God, those who are destitute without Him. This is reiterated throughout the New Testament, and we find even the Lord Jesus, as He speaks on several other occasions, John 10, we find that Jesus says this, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All whoever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not listen to them. I am the gate. Again, he's implying that you must come through me. It's very important. I stand in the way and I allow you to come through. You must go through me. Luke 13. Someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved then? He said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door or the narrow gate, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. They must come through the narrow gate through Christ. John 14:6, I am the way, Jesus says, and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, the narrow gate. I've used this as an illustration, not because the wide gate, the St. Louis arches, are implying that leads to destruction. But it was kind of a symbol of something that is wide, something that is open, something that you don't have to do anything to get through, to get under. The gate is wide. We find there's a narrow gate and the wide gate. It says in verse 13, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. The wide gate. What is the wide gate implying for us today? It's wide. Okay, that's pretty cool, isn't it? You know, it accommodates all. It's used by everyone. I mean, everyone is doing it. Everyone is going there. Easy entrance. You don't have to do much. You don't have to do really anything. There's no requirements. No restrictions. The wide gate. It's well used. Then we go on in the same text. We find, if you're still writing down there, sorry if I took it away too quickly. All right? The wide gate. All of these things. Very easy. Open. No restrictions. And so then it goes on, and the wide gate leads to a wide path. The narrow gate leads to the narrow path. So we're going to talk about that for a moment. I can't help but think that this might be a great picture of the narrow road. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, this is kind of a picture of the narrow road. Jesus didn't say you'll have easy street if you follow me. It implies it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. In fact, I'll give you some more things. It will be hard. It will be rough. You think that's easy going over a path like that? Probably we wouldn't want to walk on. That's not our ideal of a path to walk on or ride your bike on. You want something that is a lot smoother than that. It will cost you something. Jesus always was referring to the matter of cost. You want to follow me? Do this. You want to follow me? It's going to be tough. You have to forsake this or that. Take up your cross and follow me. There will be struggles along the way. It's less traveled. There are fewer travelers. That's the narrow way. In fact, it's very clear that Jesus brings this out. For wide is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to destruction, and many go through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Well, you always have to contrast that with the broad way. The broad way is well trafficked. I can't help, I've seen a lot of these sites. You probably see some of these similar to this in Chicago, but we saw a lot of this in Hong Kong especially. Chaotic driving a vehicle there in that place. But the broad road, the broad way, it's wide. It's smooth. And it's easy. It's the popular way. It's well trafficked. Oh, it offers pleasures. Come this way. Anything goes. Live like you want. You're with the majority, so you won't face many struggles. You won't face persecutions. Oh, you may be, you know, mistreated here and there, but not because of your faith, because everybody's going down that path. You really don't have to work hard to stay on the path. Just live life, and you're going to be on that path. That's the broad road. I find it interesting that the Old Testament also talks about these choices of which path will you take, which way will you take. And it's referred to on numerous occasions. I can't help but think about Joshua in chapter 24. If you can't read it, don't worry about it. You can just jot it down, Joshua 24:15, where it talks about, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, either the gods of your forefathers, the gods of the Amorites. But as for me and my house, Joshua says, what? We will serve the Lord. Everybody is going down the wide road, but Joshua says, I'm going to go this way. My house, myself, we're going to serve the Lord. It's not popular, but we're going to do that. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21, Elijah is standing there against hundreds of prophets of Baal. And he's alone, but he's with his God. And so he challenges them, and he says this, how long will you people waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, your false god, is God, follow him. And that is a wonderful account on how God works in that day and shows his strength and his power. We find in Jeremiah 21:8, where Jeremiah, you know, is here and he writes, "You shall also say to the people, thus says the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death." And then we have one more in Psalm 1:6. And there's many others, I'm sure, that we could bring out, but just these are highlighted for you. Psalm 1:6, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." You know, it's not popular to choose God's way. It's not popular to choose the narrow way. People will look at you strange when you're at school, you're on the sports teams, and you're in band, and you're in those plays, and when you're challenged to make a decision, am I going to do this activity? Am I going to engage in these various things with my teammates or with my bandmates? Or do I have to take a stand for Jesus Christ? Do I have to take a lesser role in that play? We faced that a number of times with Michael as he was going through his decision-making process of applying and trying out for play. We had to say, okay, that role, son, we don't want you to take that role because it plays the part of someone that is acting in a very ungodly manner. We had to work through those issues, but you're looked at as strange. People will say, what? It's no big deal. It is. How about at work? You won't be asked to some social events if you take a stand for God on the narrow way. You'll be shunned. You'll be looked at as strange. If you hold to integrity issues and showing up on time and have good work ethic, people will look at you and say, hey, stop that. You're making us look bad. You know? How about in your community? You'll be viewed as strange for going to church. I mean, going to church on Sunday morning, think you could be sleeping longer. And some of you are like saying, Pastor, don't tempt me. Okay? All right? But there's challenges out there. The walking the narrow way is not easy. I can't help but think about a song. How many have ever heard of the song, "It's Not an Easy Road"? Nobody? Oh my goodness. My mother used to sing this to me. Maybe it's because as my dad was pastoring a church and all the difficulties, it just meant an awful lot and it's what helped her through, but the words are awesome. "It's not an easy road we're traveling to heaven, for many are the thorns along the way. It's not an easy road, but the Savior's with us. His presence gives us joy every day. No, no, it's not an easy road. No, no, it's not an easy road. But Jesus walks with me and brightens my journey and lightens every heavy load. It's not an easy road. There are trials and troubles. There are many dangers that we meet. But Jesus guards and keeps so that nothing can harm us and smooths the rugged paths for our feet. Though I am often footsore and weary from travel, though I often am bowed down with care, a better day is coming when home in the glory will rest in perfect peace over there. No, no, it's not an easy road. It's not an easy road. But Jesus walks with me and brightens the journey and lightens every heavy load." Folks, that song kept my mom going and my dad through very difficult times. And that song comes to mind at different times during my life and my walk. It's not easy, but God never promised an easy path. Why would be the plea of Jesus? Why would the plea go out with urgency and a sense of do it now, make a decision for Jesus Christ? Because look where the narrow road leads. He says, come on in, enter through the narrow road. Come on, join us here. Because it leads to life eternal. It leads to heaven. Oh, it's rough. It's lonely at times. You'll be looked at as strange, but look where it leads. The broad road, look at its destination. It tells us in the text before us, the broad road leads to destruction. Over the last week, we've seen a lot of the damage that tornadoes have done south of us. In fact, as Michael was getting ready to travel back here yesterday to come home, actually it was Friday night to come home, the tornadoes were going on all around him. So I'm very thankful he made it home safely. But the destruction that it caused. And, you know, none of us kind of walk into destruction thinking, that's okay. I'm okay. I'm tougher than that tornado. We would be fools to go walking right into destruction, right into the center of a tornado with the winds 180 miles an hour or more. We would be fools to do that. And yet, as we think about our walk in this life, as we leave God out of our lives, as we stay on the wide road and just kind of walk along, we need to know where the destination is. And that's why Jesus is pleading with us. And he pleads with them at that time, go on the narrow road. Because the wide road, the broad road, leads to destruction. And the word destruction, it has the idea of hell, eternal damnation, eternal separation from God. I couldn't help but think, I was thinking, you know, generally when you line up things to say, okay, let's lay it all out. Let's consider the facts. I saw this actually on the internet, and I thought it was kind of well done. You know, as you review the pluses and the minuses, the pros and the cons, it compares the narrow road with the wide road. The on-ramp is wide for the wide road and small for the way that leads to life. The road conditions, broad and narrow. The traffic report, many and a few. The destination, destruction, life. We have the choice to make. And so the question under this section is, which path will you choose? Which path will you choose? I love, and I came across this statement, I don't know who said it, but this week, and it was awesome. It is impossible to take the wrong road and go to heaven. And it's also impossible to take the heavenly road and go to hell. I think that's well stated. If you're on the narrow road, and you're walking along that narrow road and doing what the Word of God says to get on the narrow road through Jesus Christ, you never have to worry about eternal damnation or hell. That is a wonderful promise. A wonderful promise. Are you still with me? I mean, this talk about hell, ooh, that's awful. Ooh, I don't like that, Pastor. Well, let's move on, all right? Let's move on. Second, we're going to look at two trees and two kinds of fruits, all right? Don't look at my grammar here. Two kinds of fruit, all right? They represent true and false prophets. And notice again how the Lord starts out this section with another command. Watch out! Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? And he goes on and talks about you don't get bad fruit from good trees. You don't get good fruit from bad trees. But he says, beware. Beware. Watch out. In fact, the word watch out has the idea of be on guard, be alert. Because these false prophets, they use language that is similar to anyone else. They look good. They're warm and fuzzy and friendly people. They seem like they belong. They don't come with a business card. Someone wrote this. They don't come with a business card that says, I am the resident's false teacher. I am here to eat you alive. You know, you just don't have that happening. And so here Jesus says, beware of false prophets. They look good. They come dressed as sheep, but they're nothing but wolves inside. And they want to eat you up. They look like sheep. They smell like sheep. They, I guess, bleat like sheep. I guess that what you say? They bleat, I guess. They sound like sheep. They hang out with sheep. But inwardly, they're out to get you. False teachers. And you say, oh, Pastor Mark, false teachers, that was back in Jesus' day. But we don't have to worry about, oh, we're going to see in just a moment. You do have to. But he likens the idea of the false prophets and the true prophets. The true prophets to a good tree. The false prophets to a bad tree. Yet at first, I didn't think too much about this, but apparently the bad tree there is kind of like, you can't see the colors very good, and I'm sorry to see that, but it's, if you saw the monitor, it's a crab tree. We had one in the backyard of our house in Hoffman Estates. It was a beautiful tree. Had terrible fruit. Awful. It would fall. We would pick something off the tree. Bitter. It was awful. We never liked it. So, but I'm not trying to pick on a crab tree. It's just, but I thought that was kind of a neat illustration that it looked great, but it had terrible fruit. But good tree, bad tree. How can you tell if it's good or bad? By its fruit. By its fruit. A good tree gives forth good fruit. Doesn't that look good? What, that makes you want to be down in Florida right now, doesn't it? Okay. All right. Bad tree, bad fruit. None of you wants that kind of yucky stuff. In fact, I had another one on there that I was going to show, but my wife said, take that off. That makes me sick to my stomach just looking at it. So I kind of, you know, toned it down a little bit. But bad fruit, you know, comes from bad trees. Do you realize that there are so many references to false prophets and false teachers in the New Testament? All over the place you find this warning. Beware, be on guard, watch out. Matthew 24, Jesus said, many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Acts 20, Paul warns pastors in the city of Ephesus. He says, watch out for fierce wolves. Again, referring to false teachers. 2 Peter 2, you want to read a whole chapter about warning against false prophets. Jude, the book is dealing with warning against false prophets. And many of the epistles, and by the way, in case you're wondering what an epistle is, it's not the wife of an apostle. Okay, I just wanted to let you know that. An epistle is not a wife of an apostle. It is a letter. Many of Paul's writings, his letters, are called epistles. And they, many of them will warn about false teaching right in the midst of instruction about something in living the Christian life. Let me give you a little bit of an idea of some possible teaching of a false teacher. Heaven and hell are myths. They're just myths. Why do you want to believe in that stuff? Watch out, false prophets. Christ says more about hell than he does about money, than he does about heaven in the Bible, in the New Testament. The God of love will never permit anyone to go to be punished eternally. You may hear that today from false prophets. Satan's a myth. Don't worry about him. It's just a myth. It's just a figment of your imagination. Don't believe it. It's very clear in the Scriptures. How about this one? The Word of God is helpful, but you need more. You need more than that. You need experience, and you need all kinds of other things. You don't need the Word of God. It's archaic anyway. That's a false teaching. How about this one? God wants you to be healthy, wealthy, and happy. If you aren't, then you need more faith. Folks, I'm telling you, this is probably one of the greatest lies that is being perpetuated on TV and around our country and around the world. So if you're not happy, you're out of God's will. Oh yeah? Where do you read that? It tells me I'm to face trials. It tells me I'm to be joyful in the midst of trials because God is with me. But it never promises me that I'm going to be happy every day. Happy, happy, happy. You know? Never. You show me. Show me. Hell, he wants us to be wealthy? Oh, yeah? God may bless you with wealth and praise God for that. Use it as wise stewards. But he never promised that you would be wealthy. And if you have a person calling you up and saying, you know what, if you just give to me, you'll be blessed. Say, bye. No conversation with you, you false prophet. I mean, really, the reality is he's trying to gain and get it off of you. He's trying to get your wealth for himself. Here's another false teaching. You need to find the goodness that is within. You know, frankly, people, I do look for the good in others, even those that really irritate me to no end. But I'm not talking about, if you look within yourself very much, you're going to see a lot of rottenness, a lot of selfishness, a lot of pride. So we have to kind of see what the Bible says about that. Good people go to heaven when they die? No. Forgiven people go to heaven when they die, but not good people. And here's another one. You don't need church. You don't need church. And here's another one. The world is going to end on April 15th, 2000. You know what? It's interesting. Last year, somebody said that. I forgot what the date was. But it came and went. And what was it? May 21st. Was that what it was? Okay. All right, yep. And you know what that same guy had said many years ago? The same thing. The world's going to end. Came and went. You know how you can tell whether it's a false prophet or not? When they make predictions and they don't come true. Why do people still sell their homes to follow people like that? I don't know. And Christ says, beware. Question is, who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? The third, two disciples, two professions. We see before us in verse 21, not everyone, in fact, I can put this slide on there, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, but look what we did. We sang in the choir. Oh, it's not the, okay. We were on the worship team. We were church members. We did all kinds of things. We helped the poor. And then Jesus will say to them, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. How could that be? How could that be? It's because of this. False disciples, they use the right words. I mean, they have kind of good theology. They know the right answers. It's usually God, Christ, or church, or whatever, you know. But they know how to answer the questions. They show great zeal. They're active for God. In fact, even these ones, Jesus doesn't say, no, you didn't. He doesn't stop and say, no, you didn't. He just, as they were bragging about their prophecy and driving out demons and performing miracles, no, he didn't argue with that. He just said, no, I never knew you. Something was missing. In fact, Matthew 5:20, if you refer back to there, Jesus said this earlier. He says, I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the religious leaders, you will not enter the kingdom of God. So something was missing. What was it? And I think we get a clue from here what his words in the text say. But only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Folks, we need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the true disciple. They do the will of God from the heart. They don't just say and do things for show. And he has really been ripping on the Pharisees because they were doing all kinds of things to receive the applaud of men. They were giving. They were do-do-do-do. I'm going to give now. And so they would drop their coins, boom, 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 and make lots of noise as it would go down into the box. And they would bring loads of those kind of coins because they sounded great, really ringing out the sound. Look what I'm doing. They would pray, oh God, look at I'm praying. Folks, do you see me? Praying. Everything they did was to be seen by man. And Jesus said, I never knew you. I never knew you. The saddest words, I think, that those individuals that are not true followers of Christ, not true disciples, ones who made false professions, Jesus says, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. Interesting that he calls them evil doers when they were doing all kinds of interesting things that seemed to be right and seemed to be good. The question is, do you have religion or a relationship? Do you have a formal religion, a form of it, following certain patterns and rules and regulations, or do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? There is a huge difference. And you're glad to see that last word, conclusion. I want to just review and make it very, very clear. Number one, which path are you on? If you're on the wide path, I urge you to go through the narrow gate and get on the narrow path. How do you do that? Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Come to the Lord and say, Lord, I've been trying to live my life by my own efforts. I've been doing my own thing. I've been going through the motions. I've been coming to church. I've been praying. I've been doing what I'm supposed to. But I realize that I can't do it. I need to put my trust in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for my sins. That puts you on the narrow path, through the narrow gate, through Jesus Christ alone. Second, who are you listening to? Do you read the Word of God each day? Are you doing it? Oh, you know, we're not trying to be legalistic about it. We don't have a sheet out back. Oh, I heard that Joe, he doesn't read on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. He reads a couple days. No, no, no. Do you read God's Word? Do you study it to help to know what it is so you'll be on guard about false teachers? Are you making it a priority to come to the assembly of believers, what we do each Sunday, and come to Sunday school to learn from God's Word? Right now, learning from Isaiah and from James, and ladies are talking about the attributes of God. Is that right? Right. I don't know. No, you already did that. All right, living great lives for God. All right? But we're studying God's Word. We're being alert so that when we hear the junk that goes on and people tell us, oh, they sound so good, they look so good, they smell so good, but what are they saying? Wow, that's not what the Bible says. Who are you listening to? Be alert for teaching that does not square up with the Word of God. And you need to be doing the same thing when you hear Pastor Mark or Jonathan speak. You need to be, is that what the Word of God says? Challenge us if we're off base. We need to get it right. Third, do you have religion or a relationship with Jesus Christ? Going through the motions is not good enough. You need to be transformed on the inside. You need to be born again. You may not like that term, but the Word of God uses it. Our actions must spring forth from a changed mind and a changed heart. I trust that you are following on that narrow path. You're reading God's Word and being a student of His Word, and that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't, I would love to talk further about it with me. Call me this week. Write me a note. Write me an email. I'll be glad to set up an appointment. If you want it at 2 in the morning, I'll be there. All right? But I want you to know the truths of God's Word. Jesus Christ urges you to be part of the family of God, to know Him as your personal Savior. Let's bow in prayer. Father, I thank You that for the clarity of Your Word. I thank You for the clear illustrations Jesus used that we can relate to. The gate and the road and the tree and the fruit. And Father, I pray that we all might go away from here and examine our hearts and do what is necessary. Make a decision to follow Jesus Christ and not just do our own thing. Lord, I pray that You'd work in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen.